Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 186. Lynn's here in the studio with Tony and Derek. Today we tackled Valiant's lovable plus-size superhero in Faith Number 1.
We also got to talk about Lobo, which made Lynn super happy, and we talked a little bit of Lucifer, which made me not so happy.
Yeah, your hatred of Fox programming is strong. We also did a little booze in a book with Old Man Logan Number 1.
So sit back and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 186, Tony Smash Studio.
Welcome to Drunk on Comics. We are just going to start off this show by saying sound quality might be a bit different.
Someone, baby elephant, walked to the studio trying to go grab a comic book and annihilated everything.
Yes, wasn't me.
Yes, in the almost 4 years we've been doing this, I'm surprised with the many cords sticking out that I have not tripped over them before. But holy fuck, did I fuck up the studio, and we were using a backup system to record today, and hopefully I can still salvage what we had from
there,
the original.
There were laptops and soundboards a-flying. It was an amazing display.
True, but maybe now my giggles will be in the background instead of right in everybody's face. So there's a bonus to that, right?
Yay!
Or they're picked up in stereo, and it's just like an echoing synchronization through the earbuds as you giggle already.
Just the sound of everything being destroyed, and Lynn's going, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It was amazing. Guys, you okay?
And the giggles come, and I can tell you by seeing the sound right here, there is picking up all of them.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Adam. Sorry.
I know.
Getting a little Canuck in
you? Yeah, well, you know, I'm almost a youper, so.
She's got the ginger in her, so that.
What does that have to do with a Youper accent?
I know, right?
Oh, I thought we were just talking about Adam.
Oh. To be clear, that ginger was not in me.
Yet.
Let's make that clear. Oh, all right. Moving on. We recovered.
Yes, we did. And I have faith that we will be able to make a good show today.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
That was a great segue.
I just gotta have faith, faith, the faith. I gotta have faith, faith, the faith. You know, that Limp Bizkit original cover?
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. So, that Tony's awesome segue pertains to the book we're reviewing today, Faith Number 1 from Valiant.
And, you know, I don't know if it would be nice if I could touch her body.
Oh dear.
I know, that was a bad one.
That was bad.
That was cold, and we knew it was going to come
bad
at some point.
Derek, but I guess get it out of the way. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I had to get my terrible
yes
joke out of the way, and now we're good.
Now I'm mad at you, but it's okay. I forgive you.
I know. I knew you were going to be mad at me for doing something like that, but the temptation was so strong.
Right. And, of course, Derek made that reference because Faith is a plus-sized superhero.
Which is probably actually a good thing, because yes, all other superheroes, it seems, are like these jacked or very small-waisted, huge-boobed
yes
superheroes. And this is
or just they consist more of having 20...
20 abs, yes.
Yes. Faith is not that. She is very relatable, I think, especially to comic book readers. Because, you know, I mean, maybe not anymore. Comics are mainstream now, but
we're not all Versace models.
No.
So.
No, I'm not. I know that much. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to say no. But anyway, so this was written by Jody Hauser, and then Francis Portella did the art, and Marguerite Savage, she did the fantasy sequence art, which was interesting because at first I had to try and figure out what that meant, but then I realized Faith goes into, like, she sets up these scenarios in her head, like when she goes, before she goes and does something, of what's happening. And I guess I didn't even really notice that that art was different than the rest of the art in the book.
Well, I kind of did, but I also, like, because I knew that she was daydreaming, but I also thought that that was one of the most unique things of this comic book, was just seeing, like, because that's, I daydream about being a superhero half the time too.
Right.
But to see her before she's about ready to do it on the pages, I'm sure there's characters in other books, X-Men, you know, Justice League, where they're imagining what they're going to be doing next too. So it's refreshing to kind of see that in this comic book.
Right.
I think if you had a superpower, Tony, it would be destroying electronics.
Oh, thank you. Let's just keep going on with that bit for the rest of this whole show.
It's pretty much what's going to happen. But.
So it's cool, though, because before she became a superhero, essentially she was just a fangirl. Like, mm-hmm. She loved comic books. She was just a normal human being.
And a normal Linz.
A normal Linz, yes. And she keeps that after she becomes a superhero.
Yeah, her alter ego was kind of crazy because it was like she worked for, like, BuzzFeed, pretty much.
She wrote, articles about comic book movies and stuff like that, while she herself is an actual superhero.
Well, one of the things that I love it when I'm reading comic books and the attention to detail in the drawings of the panels and always looking for those Easter eggs in the background of, like, especially people's apartments. Like, when they've drawn, like, in one of the Hercules books the other day, just seeing, like, trying to see, like, any of the names on the bookshelves of if it's going to be, like, Greek mythology type books he would read, or comic books even. Like, whenever there's a book somewhere on a bookshelf, if the artist can, like, write in a name of the book, you know, it's a little, you know, homage to other things. And throughout this, the action figures, the toys, like, there's even the part when she's getting out of the shower and there was, like, a GoBot type Transformer in there.
Oh, yep. Yes, exactly. Yeah, her apartment is 100%, like, it's a fangirl apartment.
It's like this room.
there's no blow-up doll, but there are stuffed animals everywhere, and she's got video games and a controller on her little coffee table and stuff like that. So it's, posters everywhere. It's so even though she's gotten these abilities, and she is now what she always wanted to be, she still holds on to that fandom, even though she knows the reality of it.
Well, even her coming from a team group and her now being solo, she kind of gets into that a bit of, like, it sucks, you know, losing her friends and losing the team, even though she didn't really lose them, but that now that she's on by herself. But it explores a different part of this character to where now she has, like, she just got the power. She just became a Psyot. And within the realm of Valiant, I love this universe. It's a very, I want to not say feels real because none of this shit is real, but, like,
right,
it's a little more grounded.
Yeah,
I would say than some of the other ones.
It's
cool because you could. I think it's a little more relatable. There's not, like, crazy technology all the time, and
I mean, you got Exo Manowar. I mean, his suit, and there are flying stuff, but when it comes down to it, it seems like Marvel Studios, they have kind of, like, almost, you can do your own thing in Cosmic Cube here, or Infinity Gem here, or whatever, where there's not that in Valiant books. Yeah. It's, as you said, more grounded, but still suspend the, belief of a person can fly and, create what, it's always funny, too, seeing, like, how they name powers, like Companion Field. I call that a Force Field, but that's what she calls it, Companion Field. So those small little nuances that really puts this book out there.
Yeah. And I don't know. I find her, I just started reading Valiant with, what was it?
Book of Death.
Yeah. And that was an amazing series. And she wasn't in the main series of that too much. I don't know if she was in any of the offshoots. But really what drew me to this was the fact that they were putting out this larger girl who is a superhero, and she's totally, like, everybody's favorite superhero. Like, people love her.
Well, she even mentions it, dialogue to the readers there of, some superheroes can just come and go, but, like, she really wants to be that, not a vigilante.
Right, she wants to be a hero.
Yeah, so she wants to be that person that people can look up to, and that means making face with the public, saying, here I am.
Emulate all the things that she always read and really likes, exactly. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, so she's got her own, like, survival guide of comic books of how she wants to become the superhero, and I find that just fascinating, because you don't see that in other books anywhere, where they actually say there are comic books within the comic book.
Right.
Pretty self-aware, yeah.
Yeah, well, and she even says she doesn't want to leave L.A. because she just found, like, the world's best comic book store, and she's not ready to give it up yet. I'm like, well, yeah, that's a good reason not to leave a city, I guess.
That's a valiant reason to stay there.
Oh!
But, but I like her secondary character garb. her
disguise? Yeah, or she looks like Velma from Scooby-Doo?
It's crazy because as Zephyr, her hero name, she, even though she is a bigger girl, they still make her look really pretty. But when she is in this cover-up, she is not... No,
she's very, goes for that, like, frumpy, trying to be completely different than what her superhero costume is.
Well, two things besides appearance, the nuances of her personality. One is wanting to be that hero, and when she's overhearing shit going on through the thin walls of her new apartment, like, I was thinking, man, like, you get this internal dialogue of, like, she's going on about this person doesn't even realize living next to a superhero.
Right.
I should probably go check this out. Where he's talking about guns and unloading bodies.
Yep.
And then comes to find out that he's just rehearsing for his improv. I was laughing my ass off. I was like, okay, because it'd be weird. I mean, I'm okay with this new book just going into this direction of, oh, now you are living next to a criminal. Is this going to be like a buddy, you know, like you save him, he helps you out in this. But no, it was just a random occurrence of...
Something that would happen in L.A. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just shows how much she's paying it. How being a hero, I mean, puts that, like, I don't know if I heard my neighbors sit talking like that, that would be the first place I would go.
Yeah.
They're actually terrorists.
But the second part of her character, which is throughout the entire thing, is it she says it too. She doesn't need to find love or whatever, but she's still a girl. She's still a human. And we all kind of judge people on looks and how she's talking. Oh, he's cute. Oh, he's nice. He's dreamy. Like in her visions of saving, you know, the Chris dude or whatever, or she's even thinking of her ex.
Right.
Or was it the guy that was within, that's working with her, and he's cute too, or he's all right.
Like, yeah, and then she asks him to meet her for dinner, and he's like, he gets this crazy look on his face, like, oh fuck, oh fuck, like, oh fuck, oh fuck.
Oh no, giant eyes.
What do I say? I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I don't like her.
Oh,
like
let's talk about this TV show. Yeah,
exactly.
So I thought that that was kind of a cool thing to, it, once again, put bases this more realistically of, yeah, these are people, how people really think. And if I was a superhero, I would be doing it for, you know.
Right. You'd still have that fantasy in your head. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be hard. I mean, she is a bigger girl, and it is hard for bigger girls, especially because you still like really attractive guys. But you know that that's not a possibility for you in most cases. So to have all these powers, if she hooks up with one of these guys, especially if they know her powers, is it going to be just because she has these powers, or is it because they actually like her as a person?
So are you using powers as a metaphor for being rich?
Because that
really helps out in the realm of dating. I mean,
same thing, I guess. It could be the real world analogy for it, you know?
Yeah.
But
I would say one of my favorite parts of the book is right towards the end when she actually is finally going to fight some crime. Like, through most of this, it is just learning about her, her kind of day-to-day.
Right.
Some friends that are going to get thrown in the mix and, you know, comic relief and how normal origin stories kind of go. But then when she's actually finally investigating the crime, first off, she's doing one of her daydreams again. But then... they're puppy nappers.
Yes.
That part made me laugh out loud because it was the most ridiculous concept for a crime ever. Who steals puppies from houses and then threatens to grind them up because they peed on them?
Right.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous that it only made more sense of, I'm sure there probably are no, they're probably not. Never mind. This is the most
unreal. I don't know, man. It's LA. That place is...
Well, if they're purebred, you could steal them and then sell them.
That's true. You could, but
or maybe they're supposed to be food. I don't know.
Maybe he took
pictures. Selling them to Chinese restaurants. Like,
I'm not going to say that actually happened.
I can imagine them stealing like Paris Hilton's dog and like asking ransom or something. So maybe they did. Because a lot of them did look like the little Chihuahua type dogs. But that part in of itself was hilarious. And then I love that's where you also get to see her using her companion shield or whatever and save the dogs. This is the one part where the book ends on one of the many comic book, movie, book, everything tropes of blow up.
Yep.
Oh, that.
To be continued.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, is she ever going to make it out? I will have to say, though, I think the writer, they failed in the sense of giving that disbelief of, is she going to save herself by already showing her force field?
Right.
I think if new readers didn't know that she had that, it could have been a cool beginning of book two of, like, I really wonder if she survived, and then she kind of shows she has this power, too, that the new readers might not have known about.
Right.
Now, unless you were an idiot and totally missed that giant page of her saving the puppies with the force field that stopped bullets, you would have to assume she's surviving this.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know in a first book if I would even want to throw that option that she didn't survive out there yet. I mean, that's pretty soon in a series to
put issue that one, scenario. Like, oh, series is over. See ya.
It's a one shot.
I have faith she'll live.
Aww. Oh, yeah. But no, the art in this is really great. The faces all have a lot of emotion, except for those clone thing, the guy, the blonde Aryan race guys at the end. No emotion in those faces whatsoever, which I think
I want to know what the hell's going on with them. Yeah. And
the crazy bomb thing?
Well, they showed it briefly in the... That was just kind of a haphazard trigger to notice if any intruders were coming in. But yeah, that was some type of alien technology, and what the fuck's going on with them?
Right, because they think there was people that were running from them, and they were Psyats, too, I think. And so, it's Harbinger, Corporation back, because I think the whole last story was that they took down the Harbinger Corporation.
Yeah, they're going to be around.
Yeah.
They're always in the shadows.
But my favorite panel in this is when she's at her day job and her boss comes to talk to her about her share numbers and just the look woman's face.
Terrifying.
It's so scary. And like, she's got this crazy, manic, terrifying smile on her face. Like, she might suck your soul out through your mouth.
Yeah, I looked at it and I don't want to say ugly art, but I was kind of repulsed a bit, but then I go... But the artist has done a phenomenal job that they meant to draw it in this way to get that reaction from me.
Oh, my God, yes, and it worked.
Yeah.
Scariest boss ever.
Yes, oh, my God.
It seemed like they were even trying to paint her as, like, a bitch boss. It was just more or less of, like,
take me those
number of shares.
Yeah, yeah. No, scary.
No.
Super scary. So, no, they did a really good job, I think, in this making Faith really relatable, adding these secondary characters that you can remember, so because you know they're going to be important later, and building the story so that it will go, on for the next couple issues and keep readers interested in what's going on. So, yeah. You guys like it? Good? Can you get behind a plus-size superhero, guys? Yeah?
I can totally get behind that.
All right.
That's all I got to say.
I'll curb any plus-size jokes from now on for you, Lance.
Oh, thanks. Just for you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, Lynn, something else that you were really geeky about this week was your lover boy, Danny Trejo.
Oh, yes. More so that he really wants to be Lobo.
This is the one, trying to get away from casting, news and everything until things are definitely, set within the movies and we have more knowledge. This is the one, though, where I just want to talk about would be fucking perfect.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yes.
He, just make him a little more pale.
Yes, throw some white paint on that man and maybe dread him up a little bit, and he's good to go.
No, and what this even, though, shows more of is I want him to be old Lobo, because he looks like old Lobo.
Yes. Oh.
New Lobo,
ugh.
Emo Lobo, which I don't even know if, because I don't think that book...
It got canceled in December,
There was a reason why.
Yeah.
DC wanted to try to change something that it didn't need to change.
No.
I want haggard old, like, space biker Lobo.
Yeah, that's Lobo. So Lobo is essentially DC's kind of weird version of Wolverine, almost. He's like the anti-hero. He can regen. I mean, he's from space. A little bit different. Canada, space. Same thing.
They're both in North.
Up? Up in different ways.
Yeah.
But making him like a GQ looking motherfucker did not, I read the first one. I was really excited when I saw they were rebooting Lobo because I love Lobo. And so I picked it up and I read it and I was like, fuck.
You went from, sploosh to desert in like 1 second.
Yes. Oh my God.
Well, he reminded me of like a emo, like vampire type Twilight person, which that is not the personification of Lobo at all.
No.
Lobo needs to have fucking chains and let's fucking, like, pick axes around the
thing. grenades and all kinds of shit. And so in his backstory, he killed everybody on his planet. That was his story. And in the new one, it was like, oh, I didn't mean to kill everybody on my planet. And I have a lot of regret and remorse for it.
Woe is me.
Yeah, oh, I'm such a bad person. But I need to make money somehow, so I guess I'll be a bounty hunter.
See, it sounds almost like the story, really, of Danny's life in real life. Like, they base Lobo off him, so he needs to now portray yes. him on the big screen. Whether or not, you know, he comes to fruition in that conquest, I don't know, yeah. but... Perfect casting right there.
It would be awesome. If they do a Lobo movie, I really hope that there's space dolphins. But
God. That I don't know. What's that?
Lobo loves him some space dolphins. In 52, he actually saved them from this giant alien monster, and he became their god and started worshiping him. But
well, I can see a reason why. I'm going to save these dolphins because they're going to worship me yeah. like a god.
Well,
like,
no, he saved them because he just really loves space dolphins. I don't, it's like his one saw, like.
I never thought we'd be talking about space dolphins.
This is one little soft spot. The space dolphins. You know, like when you see the big, mean, scary guy petting the kitty.
So my friend Ken. Yeah. I swear he hates people, but he loves cats.
Yeah, same thing.
Like he would kill someone if they did something to a cat in yeah. front of him.
So, yeah, I'm behind this. Do it, DC. Get on it.
All right. Now, last week we started our inaugural bar fights. Derek jumped the gun and said that we were going to have a Darkseid versus Thanos. Well, we're not, unfortunately. Wah-wah. However, there was a picture of Thanos showing up in the new Batman versus Superman movie.
I fucking hate you.
And holy cow, man, that guy's getting around. No, yeah,
you
no.
are the worst.
I mean, he did kind of. Look like Thanos.
No, that's because, well, besides the many times we will go nuancing, talking about how they are the same basically person. The same.
Yeah.
From the still, this does look like a good rendition of Darkseid, so kudos to DC for not fucking that up and making it a cave troll. However...
He's a different kind of rock monster.
I don't know why, like, you're giving away, if this is just going to show up for a quick second at the end of the movie, why you would spoil that. Like, right. knowing in the Marvel movies when they first showed that wasn't something that they were going to spoil nope. or even say. No one even knew that was coming.
It was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, fanboys were like, and then it was funny, a lot of people were like, who was that guy at the end of that movie? Like, yeah. internet was with all these people that aren't true nerds, like, looking at him up. So you're already showing us that he's in this movie. Who else is in this fucking movie, man?
Yeah, there is a million characters in this movie.
Let's throw everything at the wall and yeah. see what happens.
See what people like and people don't, and then we'll go from there to see what movies we're going to make next.
So now this makes me think, is he actually going to be, not a bigger part, but they're going to battle him in this? Because
probably not.
Yeah, but if probably not, why did you need to show him then? Like I said, make that teaser that,
right.
holy cow, I got surprised that he showed up, even though we all knew he was going to show up anyways. I almost feel that they are showing him so they can say, hey, we at least got something right on this movie. Like,
yeah,
we've already messed up on Doomsday. Let's at least show you that we can do Darkseid.
Maybe
right.
they're just secretly throwing shade in, like, a crazy J.J. Abrams way, and maybe they'll just actually have the Anti-Monitor.
As a big guy?
Yeah. What if they just messed with you? Like, totally none of this was true.
That would be great. Right. Because it's, as Abrams always says, the mystery box, you know, allowing people to speculate, but to be surprised when right. they go to the movies. Force Awakens was perfectly like that. We didn't get to talk about it last week, but 10 Cloverfield Lane. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that trailer?
Surprise! Another Cloverfield movie.
Yes.
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh my god.
I watched Cloverfield, but I didn't watch the trailer.
Cloverfield is one of those movies that... I hate shaky cam movies. In fact, once I learned that it's one of those, I turn it off immediately. Even if I bought it, I will return it to the store. Those movies just suck because there's so many of them. Except for Cloverfield, within two lines of dialogue, made it interesting and why right. they did it. The guy, they're like, why are you filming this? There's a monster. He goes, because if something in the lines of, if we die or something, I want someone to know what happened.
Right.
Holy shit, there's a reason why you're filming all this.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I would do too. It made me love Cloverfield even more for what it was.
Who has a video camera anymore, though?
Was it their phone? Did they use their phone in that one?
No, it was... He had a camera? Because he was recording over, like, the proposals or whatever, the video... Because there's remember when you're watching this movie, all of a sudden it's sometimes spliced to previous thing, which...
That made it good, too, though.
Everything about that. So, with this new movie... Okay, we're done with DC and talking about Darkseid now. With this new movie, though, we've heard that it's not necessarily a direct sequel. We've heard it's like a cousin of Cloverfield. It obviously has to do with Cloverfield. And these three people that are stuck in a bunker.
Okay.
So whether this is when the first alien monster comes, or if there's more across the United States that we didn't know about, or if these are like the little hatchling things that were on it, how this comes about, no clue. But that makes me want to watch this even more. I want to start researching, and especially because no one knew this was coming.
Oh, no, there was never, like, most movies nowadays, it's like you hear a year in advance, oh, they're thinking about making
this casting
movie
for this or whatever.
Yeah.
That this was so, not even, like, fanfare, like, drops in the newspaper, they just, we're just going to throw this trailer at the beginning of, and I forget which movie it was, but just let people then go to the internet of, did you see that trailer? What the hell?
Right.
That, to me, is perfect marketing. Like,
oh, yeah.
J.J. Abrams, so sneaky.
Well, when I saw, like, there was, after it came out, there was a bunch of posts, like, 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I was like, oh, that can't be a sequel to Cloverfield.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it, and then I heard it was, and I'm like, oh. Yeah.
So that's the perfect way to market your movie, except if you're Deadpool. Because then all you have to do is be Deadpool, and anything you say will market your movie.
You could put out literally any trailer just doing Deadpool things, which we've seen throughout the most genius marketing campaign in the history of marketing campaigns.
To be honest, I think they have a whole separate movie just from his PSAs and advertising. Yes. Like, and I'm wondering how much extra Ryan Reynolds is getting paid to do this, because I'm assuming he was a contract to be in the movie. But then I'm like, and you're going to film like 10 more hours worth of this stuff. Or if he just said, hey, I want to do this, guys. Let me run the Twitter. Let me go have some fun. Give me this Deadpool suit, and I'm going to film shit for you guys for free. And I can actually see that being more.
I think
more
he just really likes doing Deadpool stuff.
I mean, he's doing a great job. And so he dropped two things this week. The first one is Deadpool started running for president, and then immediately dropped out of the campaign.
Sad thing is, though, is I think he would garner quite a few votes.
Yes, I would vote for him. The other thing is, he wants you guys to touch yourself. Yeah.
That was one of the best PSAs for testicular cancer ever. I also... Imagine if this was a PG-13 movie. This... And like I said, it's a trailer for his movie, but it's also just Deadpool being Deadpool. Like, when he talks about IMAX and the chimichanga being big, or anything else that he has done, he doesn't even need to say one little bit of dialogue of go watch my movie, but he's just going off on tangents of other things. And this one being a real something that people should check out. Yeah, you know, should just feel down there your sack of potatoes. And
he goes into how to do it, where to check for things, and what to do, not to be a pussy, and just fucking do it. And yeah, I mean, I don't have balls, so I'm maybe if he...
Yeah, my brother was saying, though, is that, like, Marvel should really run with this and have, like, more PSAs from some of the other comic book heroes. You know, Iron Man, talk about, you know, getting your heart checked out.
Yes, yes.
Spider-Man
to...
Depression.
Yes, yes.
Hulk on performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes.
This is one... My brother had to tell me this. We were at a cousin's birthday party the other day, but just imagine you just... You know, you put your fingers out like a gun, you know, and like Captain America going, we need you to check your prostate cancer.
Hopefully, like, lube on his fingers and like a rubber glove. Just
oh, that's great.
The disturbing mental image. But
yes, yeah. So, you know, guys, go out there and touch yourself.
Yeah, touch your sack.
Yeah. It's the...
Watch the instructional Deadpool video.
Yes, he does a very good job. He even gets a little science-y.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Tells you where your giggleberries could have lumps on them. So, in the only way Deadpool could.
Yes. So we got some more DC talk here. We got some new stuff dropping from DC later this year, but not normal DC stuff. They're hitting Hanna-Barbera pretty hard.
This kind of like ties in with our stuff we talked about last week.
Which one?
Tony and his love of... It's very similar to like Disney Afternoon. And things of that nature, so...
Oh, it's true. I mean, that's probably why they're hopping on this train, is those reboots of popular stuff we liked when we were kids. I mean, they're just
Here's the thing that I've at first been a couple years ago, I would have said, you know, taking licensed properties, whatever. We don't need that. We need to have new IPs. But then again, you can have new IPs, but this also fills a void for a lot of fans that they've always wanted to know what could continue on with those stories. What they had to end, why. And so with that, I will 100% say not all, you know, old TV shows and old IPs work great in comic book form.
Right.
But there are some that are just killing it. Transformers, Turtles.
Gem. You guys?
He-Man. Like, they really kicked off, you know,
right.
a big storm of, like, we need to start doing some more of these. And I'm quite actually happy with this slate of comics that are coming out. The ones that I've seen so far, at least some preview images, Wacky Raceland, which at one of our favorite bars here in town, which is kind of 80s retro gaming theme, they have like just always playing on the TVs, either like old Lost in Space, Star Trek,
yeah.
or like
old Scooby-Doo cartoons, you know, and other weird
Great
shit.
Ape awesome. And stuff, but the Wacky Races is one of those, which you don't really need to have dialogue because you see,
right.
you know, what happens, the contraptions, Dastardly and Muttley, you know, trying to cheat to win. So that one I'm excited, I think, the most for, because that was one of those, that was also the show where it brought all the Hanna-Barbera, like, Yogi Bear type style people together in them, and then they had, like, the Laugh Olympics and stuff, but, like, to have them all in one
right.
TV show was great. As a comic book, though, I'm wondering how it's going to be, because they always went through gags each week
yeah.
of, like, how they won the race or whatever. So
it looks like, so the guy that's doing this is Mark Sexton, and he was a designer on Mad Max Fury Road. So it would be interesting if they took Wacky Racers and went, like, the Mad Max route with it. But the Scooby-Doo Apocalypse one, I'm really interested to see what they do with that. And it has Jim Lee on it, so you know it's going to be drawn.
Yeah, that one
perfectly.
I'm hesitant a bit. Like, I like what they're trying to do, and it's one of those things of, like, let's say that it's a different type of world, because I'm not quite understanding from just the solicitation picture of it. It looks almost like they're, like, a time-traveling, almost like
right.
sci-fi, like, Ghostbusters type group. Which, that's the one where it kind of feels it takes away from the origin. But we have to also look at updating, do something new and different.
Right. Yeah.
So, as long as they kind of say, you know, it's a different world, Elseworld type thing, let Scooby-Doo, because Scooby-Doo is continuing going on anyways.
Oh, yeah.
This being the apocalypse storyline of it towards
right.
the end of their time. Cool. Everyone looks the same, except
Shaggy.
For Shaggy.
They totally hipstered him out.
He's very
in this. He's got tattooed arms, and he's got the little handlebar curly
yeah,
mustache.
Yeah, he is something special.
But yeah, I that's the one I'll probably pick up.
I'm just very confused by this Future Quest one with Space Ghost and Johnny Quest. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Space Ghost, even like old Space Ghost comics, not even counting like Space Ghost Coast to Coast or like any of the, like the Cartoon Planet stuff.
Dude, Space Ghost Coast to Coast was
fucking
shit.
Fucking amazing. But how the hell do you mix Johnny Quest and Space Ghost?
Well, and the Herculoids and yeah. Some of the other, I don't know, other
also,
characters.
There's no way they can call Johnny Quest's friend Haji. That is super racist now.
Oh.
Why? That's his name.
It's also a racial slur now based off of Johnny Quest from back in the day. I feel
what
like they have to make...
his name?
I don't know how you can do that without someone getting offended anymore.
I mean, people get offended by everything.
Pretty much everything,
now,
so maybe they'll just roll with it. But
yeah.
They will be... So, the thing with Future Quest, it seems like they are also throwing everything else into one comic book. Because, yes, all those properties really don't seem how to mesh, except for it's Future Quest. It's seems like it's Johnny on his adventure with Haji into these other lands and these other worlds, these other planets.
With Space Ghost.
Well, Space Ghost being throughout the universe, so they're not going to be just, you know, staying right. on Earth. That's one that I'm also looking forward to of how that's going to work out. It's also the one that I don't feel like needs an updating, because if you ever watch Venture Brothers, that's like Johnny Quest.
Yep.
You right. don't need to have, you know, this. And actually, it's funny, because in that show, they've had the Johnny Quest, like, doubles within there. But Brock, being part of the Venture Brothers, what's the original guy's name that he's kind of mocking?
Oh, it's like a Reese or something like that. I gotta look it up, because now you're going to bother me if I don't remember.
I have no idea. I think I've watched what was like, that guy's three name? Episodes of Venture Brothers.
We're talking about Johnny Quest. Is like be all, like, you know, Jason Bourne type, you know, body double guy.
Oh.
Race Bannon.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
But these are things that it's getting me excited. There's a lot of people that are crying foul right now because of the updates and different.
Right.
But it's like, they're not making anything right now anyway, so you can just sit there and remember of, oh, it was so good, or you can read something new, and you have that option.
Well, why would you want the same old shit? You can just go back and read or watch that stuff. It's available. Why wouldn't you want something new? They updated Archie. Right?
That Archie's been apparently pretty sweet, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they went the zombie route with it. They're doing the new, like, CW teen drama series with it, so.
Well, yeah, updating is sometimes good. Like, it doesn't take away from the original, but it enhances it.
Right.
Such as the new X-Files. Holy fuck.
No spoilers, please. Please, 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 please.
It's been on for a week. If you haven't, when are you going to watch it?
Listen,
a year from now?
I never watched the original X-Files growing up because my parents...
Then why the fuck do you care about this then?
I'm watching it now.
The original?
Yeah, I'm trying to
there's
blow
some
through
good
it.
Episodes. There's some that did not age well either. Oh my god.
Apparently on the internet there's a list of like the
ones you have to watch for
the
plot.
The ones that are most important to the plot. So mm-hmm. I'm just trying to burn through those really quick because first, I watched Twin Peaks, so that put me behind. But now I'm on X-Files, so I'm waiting until I'm done with those to watch the new ones. So you guys have to, I mean, not completely spoiler-free, but, you know, anything super important.
Show me that list afterwards, and I'll recommend other ones that probably aren't on there that are just worth watching because they're hilarious.
Okay.
So.
Awesome. But anyway, okay, X-Files. Go ahead.
So, the X-Files, well, now I have to try to do it without being spoiler-free.
Well, just don't give away, like... very key plot lines.
But the biggest plot line of is, it flips it on its head of what X-Files was of, it's always been the aliens. The mm-hmm. aliens, you right. know, that have been around. And aliens that have been behind everything. But what if it's not? What if it was the government?
I thought that was always a running...
It was kind of, yes. I mean, there's the shadowy government thing yeah. throughout the whole series. But they always thought the aliens were, like, manipulating the government.
But now they're saying the aliens haven't really been back as often as we thought doing stuff. All the abductions and stuff were actually physically like the Illuminati government, the shadow government that has been testing on humans okay. to take over the world. And it's a little, like, it's going kind of out there with, I have a better time believing aliens taking yeah. over the world than this government trying to take over the world. Like, my disbelief is really out there, and it's weird for that reason. But it's also cool, it's refreshing. It really makes them re-question every other case files. You said you haven't seen the second episode, but they still have that supernatural abilities, things that have happened before, and the characters just seem to have come right off of, like, always having been Mulder and Scully, and yeah. always being there. And you soon learn of, throughout the years, their relationship and what that has done to them, but that they... at least Scully, she believes still, but just not as much as Mulder still does, but she's... also questioning the anti-government thing, because she's kind of like, no, aliens. I believe aliens. I've been abducted, this and that. Like, Mulder, you can't just change your theories right. that you had for many years to say it's just now the government's fault and not really aliens, which throws it back into the originality of her questioning and him going on his tangents, which is refreshing. It's different. And, oh, my God, that second episode had some stuff that made me squeamish and turn around.
Oh, now this is only 6 episodes, right?
Yes.
Miniseries? Yeah.
But apparently the ratings have been amazing, so...
Oh, my God. X-Files, everybody loves the X-Files.
Yep.
I mean, quite honestly, yes, I didn't watch it when I was younger. That was a situation of my raising, but...
Oh, I did every single yeah. night for, like, until they put the T-1000 on there, and then the show sucked, but...
It, it, People want the reboots are huge now. Like, not the, like, Independence Day coming back. People are really excited about that. So it's really smart.
It's
now
great when they stick with, you know, what the source material is. Unlike fucking Lucifer.
Oh, no.
This is going to be the last time that I will mention this spawn of demons ever again.
So you actually...
No, that's a lie, because I probably bitched about it before.
You actually brought yourself...
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
I watched it.
Yeah, Derek told me to watch it, and so I decided to.
You're a bad friend.
No, there's a reason I told him to watch it. I said it was watchable when you don't compare it whatsoever to the comic, because there's literally nothing in common with it.
And I decided to do that. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Oh, nice. And I was going to actually then come by and say, because I've learned this from Game of Thrones, Walking Dead even, you need to be close enough to the source material, but you don't have to be 100%. Game of Thrones has kind of gone on their own way, but they have the characters of the about the same. Walking Dead,
yeah,
same thing. And I'm like, okay, this is a little bit different of a Lucifer than what I've known and loved, but I can deal with it. Until then, I go on the internet, and I see all these horrible reviews for it. And it then reinvigorated my hatred for this because of what they were saying, and it's 100% true. And even then, seeing Neil Gaiman tweet out this one article that I was reading to Mike Carey saying, hey, at least they're saying good things about us and not the show. And what he was saying is, this one article I was reading, and then the comments and what the internet says, is you have this buddy cop drama that you wanted to make, like, you know, Law and Lucifer or whatever. But yet, the only thing that you kept from the property is the name Lucifer and Lux, and nothing else. You could have just made this, like I said, Law and Lucifer, called him Lucifer, like...
Yeah, Lucifer's not a trademarked name. He's the devil.
He didn't need to have his Bible. Nightclub, or you could have... And you wouldn't have pissed off all these people that were tuning in to see what they love. This ain't going to make people go and read the comic book like people are saying... Oh, now they're going to realize that there's a comic book. We should go read that.
It's just going
to
piss them off.
Fucking nothing to do with it.
This. The people that are watching this are looking for a cop drama. Cop drama with some mysticism. Cool, you can do that. You could name him Shamalama Ding Dong and still have him have, like, this power. But having him be named Lucifer, and within the first book of Lucifer, he's taken on the tarot deck of cards of many things for the existence of this whole other universe outside of this realm. That's not gonna ever happen in this show.
Right.
Then him fighting, like, all these other things, and the comic book is just amazing. Anyone that has read it knows this, but they're two separate things. So why did Warner Brothers think that they had to attach that name and take nothing from it?
Because Sleepy Hollow was successful and they wanted another Sleepy Hollow. Supernatural, well, cop drama.
Did
any of you guys watch Angel, the offshoot of Buffy?
Yes.
That's what that show was.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, but that at least followed the character.
Right.
And had the same person, and you had who he was as his character.
Right.
This has nothing to do with who he is or what he was, that you should have just named him or had it no ties to the comic book.
Yes.
You could have everything else in there, but someone who's never read, you would watch the cop drama for... The devil's working with this detective. That seems interesting and weird.
Yeah, it's a if it were an original plotline.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the guy that plays Lucifer is pretty awesome. He made me laugh a lot because he's a dick. And that's
pretty
much what
Lucifer... Oh, I like when he was pissed that the guy got killed because, no, he's got to suffer. And Harry's just saying, well, where he's going, he's going to suffer. And devil
he's like, no.
Well, no, because I'm not there, so he's not going to. Those were small nuances that I thought was awesome. But that could have been done by any person named the devil.
Exactly.
And how many times he has to keep telling people, I'm the devil, I am Lucifer. Going around with a name with Lucifer is kind of a little... You would think he might have maybe a nickname or something he'd go by.
Yeah.
I'm Lucifer. That kind of instills some fear in people.
I'm the devil.
I'm Lucy. Yeah. So you're not going to watch the second one is what you're saying?
No, I will, but I've even heard from people that have, like, full-on reviewers that get to watch, like, episodes in succession already, that have said, what did this have to do? How did that go to the plot? All of a sudden, now he randomly used his mysticism of getting things out of people that had nothing to do with following this lead up for here. Saying pretty much that even as a cop drama, this show fucking sucks.
So just in general, it's a bad show.
So it's going to be one of those shows that, once again, Fox fucked up.
Yeah.
And
when you have a great property and then you just shit down its neck.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
Butterfly.
Yeah, that's the biggest one, obviously. But I don't know how they can get their hands on something. People have been trying to get Sandman and all the offshoots into a film type thing for years, and this is what makes it first.
At least they're making American Gods on Stars. Yes, that's pretty awesome. They are. I mean, yes, they at least are. Something Neil Gaiman related will not hopefully suck because it's on a network that's not bad.
And Sandman hopefully will be coming out somewhere sometime.
Yes.
I don't know, that's really all the news I have. Yeah. I'm gonna go on a little like tangent myself.
Right.
I was at a party last night, and lo and behold, the regular NES, for those that are at home that don't remember what that is the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
From 1985.
Yes. It was the big fat cartridges that you had to blow on.
You didn't actually have to blow on that ruined them, but hey, it made the contact work for that temporary time. Yeah. So
it made you think you were doing something.
You haven't lived until you've had to earn playing your video game, exactly. Little bastard kids.
Or you just left, because you couldn't save, so you just left it on for days at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And what was being played by multiple people throughout the night, and I kid you not, I've not heard people like screaming, cheering, and like sighing like so loud in my life than them playing Super Mario Brothers 3. They were going through and beating every single level and every single world. I've done that once. It can be a little time consuming, but
warp whistles?
No warp whistles.
No,
yeah.
I mean, they got them and stuff, but they didn't warp at all. They went through each individual level. And watching these people play, oh my god, irritated me slightly more than my thoughts on Lucifer.
Such a nerd rage.
Oh,
thing.
Very like
it's bad. It's painful watching people suck at video games, though, that you know you could do better at. Like, that always bothered me.
No, they said seriously, they kept missing the same fucking jump. But I'm like, no, don't jump so far. Do you see that little, like, you know, whatever they call it, music flute note box thing?
Oh, the little bouncy squares.
Why are you jumping over it? Why don't you just jump right there on it?
And they launch you.
Yeah, and
it's fucking Mario physics.
Then they would use P-Wings in Pipeland, where you're in pipes and underneath and things are coming up. P-Wing ain't going to help you out in there.
That's the fucking dumbest use of a P-Wing ever.
They used the cloud thing to skip a world.
And then died immediately, so they went back?
No, well, the cloud... Well, no, that they didn't even use... They used it when they couldn't advance anywhere because there was one of those gates that you have to attack the first castle to be able to get through.
Gotcha.
Oh.
So then they had to go back through the white port... Or warp pipe, sorry.
And they lost their cloud.
Yep, and lost their cloud. Oh my. So many things that just... At one point, they were trying to get this fire flower, which you had to be, like, small and jump like that to get it. Finally, someone goes, Tony, can you get that for me? Yeah. And I got it. And everyone's like, holy shit. Yeah.
Let
and I
go, me show you my skills, you guys.
I really wanted to just take the controller from them. But then also I was having some fun with one of my buddies. And we were just doing like side commentary the whole time. Watching these people suck so badly that it, like I said, infuriated me. But it also is one of my favorite Mario Brothers. And the suits in there.
Tanuki suit. Frog suit.
Yes.
I think, well, my favorite, just because you can only get it in one spot, is a Hammerhead Brothers suit.
That's a good one, too.
Because, and it's, and then you can, like, go down on your back, and it's like, you got the beetle shell on your back.
Yep.
Right.
I always was a big fan of the Tanuki suit, though. The fact you could turn into stone for no reason was hilarious to me.
Well, I love the boots that you get in
the little
that
boot that you hop across the like,
you can only use that in one world as
well. That's in World 5, has all the crazy shit. Like, the Tanuki suit and the boot are in the same level.
Do you have a favorite Mario Brothers game?
That depends. Am I playing by myself or am I playing with people?
Oh, I guess, why? What would the difference be?
Well, like the Wii U Super Mario Brothers, when you can play four player at once, is so much fun. Like the Super Mario 3D World.
Okay. It's also infuriating, though.
It is, though.
Because people will jump on you.
It becomes a war for the crown, which becomes hilarious. It's like the Battletoads of Mario.
Yes, they jump on your head and they make you fall down holes.
Yes, but it's amazingly fun. But if we're going like old school Mario, yeah, I really liked Mario 3. For some reason, Mario 2 also holds a special place in my heart, even though it was fucking terrible.
Well, yeah.
It's just I had that game.
Too. It's just they threw Mario skins.
Yeah, over some other horrible Japanese game.
Doki Doki Panic.
Yep. Yep. I just remember like always wanting to be Luigi because he had those crazy little feet that would flap.
Yes.
And it was so funny. And the princess.
No, I love princess because she could fly.
Float forever.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah. Luigi, like, blah, 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 little feet thing, yeah. Was so funny. And Toad, how he could pick things really fast.
I'd say Mario Planet, though, was an interesting concept if you ever played that on the Wii.
Mario Planet.
I think that's what it was called.
Super Mario Galaxy?
Galaxy.
Yep.
Where all those different, you know, surface of all those planets, you can jump from one. That was a whole unique take. Sunshine
is a classic.
Yeah, but it's, still go up, but I think one of my favorite of all suits, though, I think it comes from one of the Mario worlds. Forget which one it comes from. Is the Boomerang Brothers though suit, where you actually get to throw boomerangs and you can hit people farther and get like the coins to come back to you.
Hmm.
That was always a fun.
My by a long shot, my favorite Mario is Mario 64.
That is a classic.
I could replay that one over and over and over again.
I was always a big Mario RPG, which isn't necessarily a Mario game, but Mario RPG for Super Nintendo was amazing. The fact that they took all those characters and made it into a actually playable RPG with story that was really, really fun. It was just great game.
Well, Paper Mario was also kind of an RPG type. That was fun in some of the things where you could like flatten yourself and, like, sneak into, like, walls and everything. Which I think they then took that concept for the new Zelda game on the 3DS. That was ingenious stuff. Mario just keeps churning out greatness.
Yeah, their most recent one was the Mario Maker.
Yep, where you make your own Mario levels.
Oh, my gosh. So we own that. And it is... I don't make worlds, but I have a very excited 13-year-old that it's his goal in life to make us want to throw the controller at the television, and it
sounds expensive and upsetting for both parties involved. But
it is fun, and you can do all kind of, like, they give.
So does he make worlds for you to die in?
Essentially,
which is probably not hard.
Hey, I am very good at Mario. First of all, and second of all, he always manages to forget that he put like a way you can go completely over the top of his entire world, which just pisses him off every single time that I do it. But, no, it's a lot of fun, and they give you access to everything that they've ever used in any Mario game ever. And then you can play everybody else's fucked up worlds, too.
Yeah, I've seen some videos of some of those worlds that are, like, you have to do everything absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have the boots, and they also have high-heeled boots, which are the weirdest-looking things I've ever seen.
Do they just do the same as the
boots? Yeah, they do the same thing. Okay. Yeah. But they're just high-heeled boots, so I don't even know if that's maybe that's a Japanese thing.
I don't know.
I don't know where that came from. But
they got a cross-dressing thing that spits eggs in Mario 2, so I mean...
Yeah.
Birdo.
Oh, yeah, that game was just... I don't know why you like that game.
It's just a part of my childhood. It's not a good game, but
no,
it's just
it's not.
Something that I played so much when I was younger that it's just special place in my heart.
I gotcha.
It sucks, but...
Yeah. That's a sad part of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, booze in a book. What do we got this week?
Oh, Tony, similar to you, we have Old Man Logan number one.
Trying to say Tony's old.
No, well, yes, he's old, and also he's always like
in a... I'm not taking that mantle. Lynn's is older than
me. I am the oldest one.
Nope,
yes,
nope, that's
yes.
not the reason I was referring to this. Old Man Logan wakes up in this all sorts of confused, which is how I imagine Tony wakes up most weekends.
Yes, I mean, that's how he woke up today.
Because obviously, post-Secret Wars, we got Old Man Logan showing up in the present of the new world that was created, and he is incredibly confused and full of rage. And we decided that it would be a good idea to pair this with a brain grenade, which is one of those little tiny pints of Mickey's that are absolutely disgusting. But when you drink one of those, you wake up in one of those, like, confused states because they're fucking disgusting and it's a hangover in a bottle. But that's not to say anything bad about the comic because it's awesome. Old Man Logan's sweet. Obviously, there's been a lot of those around. I mean, Tony's read pretty much everything Old Man Logan ever.
Right.
But yeah, we figure, hey, if you're going to wake up in a daze, it might as well be for something terrible like that.
If you want to feel like Old Man Logan.
drink some of those little Mickey's bombers with the wide mouths.
Yeah, there you
go. Or Buzz Balls.
Oh my God, you guys. Those are the worst things I've ever put in my mouth. And I put a lot of stuff in my mouth. So they were disgusting. They did have funny names, though. I mean, the one I drank was called Strawberry Rum Job. But
didn't you say it tasted like jet fuel?
It's like the lowest, like if you went to the bottom shelf at the liquor store and then maybe like stuck your hand underneath the shelf.
Like the old bottle that just like slid underneath
it. Slid underneath and nobody got for 10 years. That's what was in these things. But they do the trick. They taste like ass.
Tasted a lot of ass in your day?
Well, no, not a lot.
All right. Well, final thought of the podcast, they used to call the devil the father of lies, but for someone whose sin is meant to be pride, you'd think that lying would leave something of a sour taste. So my theory is that when the devil wants to get something done, he doesn't lie to you at all. He tells you the exact, literal truth, and he lets you find your own way to hell. Mike Carey. Love that quote.
That's a good one, guys. So that's it for Drunk on Comics this week. Stay thirsty for those conspiracies. The truth is out there.
In the world now, before did you read the old Man Logan?
Nah, I read the Secret Wars Old Man Logan.
So this is he's current in current times.
Yeah, he's in Marvel main universe. This is just kind of this is his own thing of going off on. Okay. Actually, I'll just go fucking get it for you so you can.
Oh, holy shit!
And that might have totally fucked things up.
Oh no!
Oh, you bent it.
You bent the shit out of it.